Hello, this is Bishop Jeffrey Monfort and Bishop of the Diocese of Steubenville. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we gather to delve deeper into our faith today in constant search for the source and summit of our lives in Jesus' self-giving as we continue our common Christian pilgrimage in 2022, this Easter season. Together we begin with words of St. Paul which quench our thirst, the passage from his first letter to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preached to you the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Whether, then, it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. You know, St. Paul speaks of the fact of the resurrection, and this is underscored certainly in chapter 15 in his first letter to the Corinthians. Well, we hear from St. Paul this ancient apostolic kerygma. It's not simply a proclamation, though, for it's preaching the good news of what God has done and what God will do in the person of Jesus Christ. Did you know the word kerygma in Greek means proclamation? But in Christian terminology, kerygma refers to a specific content, namely the good news of Jesus Christ. If the kerygma is to be passed on from one to another, it will be done so verbally, for faith comes from hearing. We hear from, of course, St. Paul, I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. What we have here is an ancient confession of faith. You know, the confession of faith we make at each Mass. And within it, we hear what is fundamental to the proclamation of the faith. Firsthand, we hear the apostolic tradition of defending and handing on the deposit of faith, that treasury of faith, for all to believe. Like other letters of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians is not so much of a systematic exposition as it is a response to a specific problem in the early Christian community, which has already assimilated the basic kerygma. We have to read between the lines, pardon the expression, that St. Paul was in a position to learn a lot about the historical Jesus from prime resources, people who worked with and served with Jesus and sat at his feet listening to his teachings. We also are acutely aware that St. Paul is very much interested in the person and deeds of Jesus and not merely in his words. I guess the question we can ask ourselves, how do you and I take time to encounter the person of Jesus and not simply look at him as a historical figure? How do you and I hand on the faith to others, and how do you and I confess our faith in actions, not simply in words? St. Paul says, Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ, the new Adam, in one act, has undone all that has plagued humanity from its beginning, from that fateful fall by the first Adam. Here, the ancient kerygma instructs what God has done in the person of Jesus. In our hearing, we recognize the inner unity between sacred scripture, the Bible, and God's salvific acts through Jesus Christ. This passage indicates that there is scriptural testimony to Jesus' death and resurrection. St. Paul invites the Christian to believe and to act on that very belief. Why, you ask? Because we are offered salvation through Jesus' death. In Jesus Christ, all are vindicated through his actions. Central to Christian spirituality, essential to its integrity, is that we need Jesus Christ. Nothing that we can construct will get us to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So we ask ourselves, how much time do you and I spend with the Scriptures in prayer? Do we allow Scripture to speak to us, the Bible to speak to us, and not simply try to determine what God was instructing others to do, as if we're not part of the game plan? How do you and I allow Scripture to live in our hearts? St. Paul goes on and says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, referring to the apostles, though it was not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. See where the credit goes? Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. This is a boast neither intended to demean the apostles, nor to elevate Paul above his contemporaries. Nope. Paul is a member. St. Paul is a member of one church, the very church that at one time he steadfastly persecuted. Grace is elevated above the servant. In St. Paul's conversion experience, as described in this letter, Jesus takes the initiative, and as we all know, the story ends with St. Paul's acceptance of Jesus. You know, when it comes to conversion, 100% of the time, Jesus takes the initiative. It all comes to you and me, whether or not we're receptive to that invitation. St. Paul no more expected to encounter the risen Jesus than did the disciples gathered in a locked room following Jesus' crucifixion. Grace initiates. Grace makes a demand on us. We ask ourselves, how has Jesus Christ surprised us recently? Are we paying attention? How has Jesus entered through the locked doors of our own minds and hearts? How has our encounters, notice the plural word, encounters, with Jesus changed us? You see, here in 2022, we are at a watershed, a defining moment in our culture and humanity, not unlike the era of St. Paul. As in St. Paul's time, we know of fellow Catholics, even relatives and friends, who struggle with the seductive distractions of this world. Our church still possesses the ancient kerygma in its fullest, the treasury of faith, the deposit of faith. Yet, many still require direction and instruction on how to encounter the living God in Christ Jesus. You and I pray before the body of Christ as a family, steeped in hope in Jesus, that he died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and his grace, the grace of God, is within us. In this Easter time, may we allow Psalm 37 to echo, better yet, thunder in our hearts. Give yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you. Amen.